Okay, we are now going to focus on one of those projects that is just about to complete. So leases and really talking about the steps after publication of the standard and to provide some feedback from the council in terms of are those the appropriate steps, et cetera, and thoughts that we have around that. And I'm pleased to welcome Petrina. Have you been here? Yes, of course you have. Dummy. Many, many times. So, with no further ado, I will pass over to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Joanna, and good afternoon to everyone. Today, really, as Joanna mentioned, our objective is to obtain advice from you on how the ISB can specifically support the initial implementation and consistent application of the new leases standard. So what I'll do is just provide some brief information on what we're already planning to do, and then obtain your views, both, by the way, observations on what we're planning to do, and also if there's anything else that you think we should consider for the period just after publication of the new standard. So first of all, perhaps a little bit of background. Slide two in the materials just briefly mentions where we are in the project. So at the moment, the ISB has completed its decision-making on the project, with one important exception, which is that the board has yet to decide on the effective date, which it will do so later this year. And of course, in doing so, it will be really taking into account and trying to consider and allow for, sufficient time to allow for an orderly implementation. So at the moment, we're in the process of drafting that new leases standard, which we expect to publish before the end of 2015. So what have we already got planned for that period when the standard's published? Well, first of all, there's quite a package of materials that we usually put out together with any sort of final publication. And in particular, when the final publication is quite a major standard, like the new leases standard will be. So on slide three, we list some of the material there that we think hopefully will help with implementation and consistent application. The first is, of course, just the basis for conclusions that comes together that accompanies the standard. And it, of course, explains the ISB's reasons for decisions and also the ISB's intentions whenever it was developing the standard. And experience tells us that the information in the basis can often really be quite helpful in helping people to understand how to apply the requirements. And actually, interestingly, it largely there isn't really a basis today in the existing leases standard IS 17 because it was developed such a long time ago. Secondly, we intend to include some illustrative examples as part of the standard package. And those illustrative examples will in particular focus where there are either some new requirements or where the requirements might apply some more judgment in order to apply. Then, of course, we have a project summary and a feedback statement, which for us will likely get incorporated into what we will call our effects analysis. And I suppose we certainly intend to publish quite a comprehensive effect analysis on the leases standard. The first thing is that we intend to adopt some of the recommendations that the effects analysis consultative group gave us about effects analysis. So the first is that we intend to publish it as a separate document, so separate from the standard or the basis for conclusions. And the second thing is that we intend to use a sort of more snapshot style, using more sort of reader-friendly language, including more pictures and diagrams in order to communicate. Very much like some of the project updates that we've recently published around the leases project. And it's really just trying to make that document more accessible to a broader range of stakeholders if we can try to the extent we can to reduce the technical language and make it a bit more reader-friendly. We hope that that document, again, will be useful because just some of the areas that we intend to include in there is, first of all, maybe for investors, regulators, others. We do intend, of course, that the effects analysis will talk about some of the, you know, expected quantitative effects of a standard. So, for example, which industry sectors, which types of entities might be most affected? What overall are the benefits? What are the likely expected effects on the financial statements of an entity? So if you're an investor and you're looking at a lessee today, what can you expect to see going forward in terms of change? Which would also include expected effects on some of the key financial ratios. And also that document would be intended to highlight just some of the other effects that the standard might have. For example, any expected effects on things like the cost of borrowing or debt covenants. Also, for companies who have to implement the standard, again, we hope there will be some useful information in that document, because it won't just talk about the benefit side or the expected effects, it'll also cover the cost side. And as part of that cost information or analysis, we would both talk about the expected cost both on initially implementing the standard and then also any ongoing costs. And we'd also hope to highlight, for example, the difference between the data that you might need as a lessee today to apply IAS 17 versus what might be the additional data that you might need to apply the new leases standard. And we'd also hope to include some case studies in that effects analysis that just walks through some of the steps that an entity might have to take when first implementing the standard. Of course, in addition to that, then we do what we often do with other standards. We would intend to have some webcasts, publish an investor's perspective article, include clearly some implementation sessions or conferences to talk about any concerns we've heard or how to go about implementation, and of course arrange for some educational meetings with both investors and regulators and possibly others. And I suppose in thinking about and looking at this sort of slide three and what we have planned, a lot of our focus when we do this is in trying to find steps that we can take that really will provide some information to IFRS stakeholders around the world, you know, which is sometimes more difficult to do. So that's why things like webcasts or other, I suppose, snapshot type effects analysis information that we can make available on our website are sometimes quite effective ways of communicating around the world. So maybe with that, I'd like to hand over to you for your advice and thoughts on whether, either both on what we're planning to do and also, by the way, if your other things that you think we should think about.
I'm going to ask the first question. I've done that naughtily three times today. Just in terms of, and you say that people find useful, do you actually have the evidence, if you like, or rather than just anecdotal, as to actually what is the most effective way of communicating about new standards and getting people to be clear that actually do make it easier? Or is it just that that's what we think it is? And Sue's going to respond to this.
I think it is mainly anecdotal. So we've had a lot of positive feedback on particularly the materials that we've been preparing lately on the leases project, both from preparers but also more broadly other standard setters. For example, it came up at some of the ASAF meetings, people appreciating it. I think particularly, and from investors as well, we've had some good feedback from them where we've tried to illustrate financial statement effects. I think that's been helpful. Also, I guess the most quantitative thing that we've got that captures it is, and I don't have the statistics ready, but I know that when we publish our standards, there's many, many multiples more hits on the sort of snapshot and supporting material that comes out on the day than there ever is on the actual new requirements that we publish. So a lot of people are reading the supporting material, which I think gives us a lot of evidence that it is useful. And also the webcasts that we do on the new projects, we get, you know, many hundreds and thousands of people that log in and ask questions and are accessing that information. So I think that provides support for that.
I guess it does lead on to just more generally in terms of actually collecting that data in a truly analytical sense so that we know we are being effective with what we do on all of this, you know, when we release standards.
Yeah. The other thing I just, while I've got the mic, if I could, one thing that Petrina didn't mention, which is but is probably the elephant in the room here, is obviously that this is a joint project but without an identical outcome. So maybe just to comment on a couple of things we're doing there. So firstly, what we did in the document that we published in March on the expected effects of the new standard, we spent quite a lot of time and energy in that document explaining both where we had the same outcomes and where we had different outcomes between where we've landed and where the FASB have landed. So we're trying to be quite open and providing a lot of information for people to understand what the differences are, what the actual effects of the differences are, the likely magnitude of the effects of those differences, particularly on a portfolio basis rather than on an individual lease basis, and to explain why we got to different places so people at least understand that context. The other thing that we are trying to do is we are working very closely with the FASB at a staff level at the current point to try and coordinate the drafting of the two documents as closely as we can, particularly on areas where we have common decisions. So, for example, on the definition of a lease, which is obviously important, being the gateway into the standard, trying wherever we can to use the same words and trying to get the same outcomes where we can. And so we'll be working very closely through the drafting process to try and be as consistent as we possibly can in common areas.
Thanks for that as well then, Sue. So, questions, comments, advice. Stephen.
Yeah, just really a question. Are we anticipating having a transitional resource group with respect to this? And the reason I ask that is because a number of the people I've spoke to about the lease so far see this as an easy... They're waiting for the rules to see how they change the transactions, and I think there will be a lot of game playing around this. I'm also concerned that the US may actually have some sort of transitional group, and if they do, it would seem that this is something we need to have at least a reaction to, rather than sort of say at the moment that we're not anticipating that.
I guess that's one of the reasons why we wanted to bring this to the group today, to get your advice on whether or not we need to have such a group. And I guess from our perspective, as you know, because we've had the discussion with this group in the past about whether or not transition resource groups are a good thing, we've been quite careful when we've decided to establish transition resource groups. So we felt with revenue, particularly because it was an identical standard when drafted, that it was important to have a joint group to try and keep converged outcomes. So, and also it was a very comprehensive standard that sort of affected everybody, so we felt that it was important to do that. When we came to IFRS 9, importantly, we decided to set up a transition resource group, but we only set it up to deal with one piece of IFRS 9, and that was a very conscious decision because, firstly, we asked, I think at least in part on advice from this group, not to create this expectation that whenever we issue a new standard, necessarily we've got a transition resource group coming with it, because we got quite a few comments from this forum, from memory, that sort of cautioned against creating a sort of competing interpretations committee, if you like, on a standard-by-standard basis. So when we established a transition resource group for impairment, it was very much because expected credit losses were such a profoundly new concept for our literature and because of the big systems changes. So we felt that for the impairment requirements and not for classification and measurement and hedge accounting, that because it was special, that having a group set up was probably the appropriate thing to do, but it wouldn't be the norm. And I guess, speaking personally, if I look at the leases standard, I didn't see it as having the same sort of special status as impairment would for me, from a sort of complexity of the whole notion concept, so I'm not sure that it has the same case for a transition resource group as impairment did for us. Mm-hmm. And also, we're trying very hard with impairment to balance being helpful with signalling to the market that we would only have the transition resource group in place, we hope, until the end of 2015, because we want people to know that these are the requirements, they're stable requirements, it's safe to go and make your systems changes knowing that this is it, and we're trying to balance that. And so I guess we're conscious of not creating uncertainty by having too much implementation discussion going on post-publication.
And I think probably I took from Stephen's question as much as anything else, the communication aspect again, which seems to be the theme of today, is actually ensuring that what you've just said there, as much as anything else, is communicated as to why not necessarily suggesting that we should, but being open that you wouldn't consider it because they're one-offs and this doesn't meet the criteria, basically. So just being totally open and transparent about it.
Yeah.
Petrina?
And sorry, only just to add to Sue's comments, just to say why I suppose, I think it was your words that at least when I looked at your minutes, it said you thought TRG should be considered only in special cases.
Yeah, yeah.
And I suppose for me, as I now look at the standard actually as it's drafted and complete, for me at least it doesn't hit that special criteria more because actually so many of the decisions the ISB's reached in the last phase of redeliberations has actually simplified the overall requirements so much more. So of course at a high level and except at a high level, essentially, the ISB's decided to retain existing lessor accounting. So that's just keeping what's in IS17. And also just to apply what is the finance lease accounting model in IS17 applied to all leases. So there doesn't seem to be that special need in a sense.
Well, unless I hear to the contrary, I am presuming that no one on the Advisory Council is suggesting that you should. So if anyone has a different view, please raise your card and we will talk about that. And I'm now going to go ask Philippe to make a comment as a board member.
Well, it's not really to express a different view, it's just to acknowledge that there is at least one aspect in our new standard which some people might feel that some transition group might help is in the definition of control as applied to the underlying asset, which is the really new part when you removed operating leases from being like services in terms of accounting to being like finance leases on the balance sheet. We have this notion of control which distinguishes whether it is a service contract or a lease contract. And I think it's one of the areas where some people feel there is the most judgment to be made, the most difficulty sometimes for certain contracts. And if there is one area only where some people might feel a need, this is that one. I'm not saying we should do it, but I think we should acknowledge that this is one of the tension points in the new standard. Only the staff has a different view, but it's my personal belief.
Thanks, Philippe. Okay, Paul.
Thanks. Just a couple of points. The first one, as we've gone through this with our clients over the last number of years, the big focus has been on the US versus IESB convergence. And I know that was commented upon. So I just encourage in the basis for conclusions, and it may already be planned to be in there, but it would be good to actually make sure those differences are addressed there or as to why the IESB landed there. And then the second point, just on the TRG, I would fully support that at this point, probably not having a TRG for the leases standard. And I think there is a risk that as you have one after the other, that the TRG would suddenly become part of the standard setting process, which I don't think it is. So that's a positive affirmation, if you like, that I don't think it would be required in this case, notwithstanding some of the judgment areas as well that will likely be addressed, but maybe the current standard setting process, IFRIC, et cetera, will ultimately be used to address those differences.
Thanks, Paul. Goro?
Thank you, Joanna. The list of standard is well-recognized project by users as well. So unfortunately, not all users would read the final standard as basis for conclusion. In that regard, that the snapshot or investor perspective article should be very useful, particularly as Patrina discussed, that the difference between that the US ISB model versus US model and the new and old would be the most important aspects which most
and
users would need. And also that the particularly if there is any suggestion that the, as a standard setter, probably that from user's point of view, that the most important thing is that how can we reconcile that these two different models. So if you have any suggestions, how can we reconcile that US GAAP number to IFRS number, which might be very difficult because of the difference between the two models. But you have any suggestion that how can we compare on the similar basis, that suggestion would be very useful. And lastly, that the effect analysis should be very important to users as well, particularly which sectors would be impacted, would be give us an indication that how deeply we should understand. And also that lastly, that this investor perspective article or snapshot tend to be very, short and concise. And if you have an resource to translate to the other languages for that the non-English speaking people, that would help that the help you to reach out that investor communities outside of the English speaking people.
Thank you. Good, useful additional thoughts there. Egbert.
Thank you, Joanna. First of all, on the topic of transition resource groups, I would sort of support the analysis that Sue provided. I think there were good reasons for the other two TRGs, very specific reasons, worthwhile reasons to have them, but on balance, not an expectation that that would be the case for leases. So that's to start off with. There is one other element that I think will be very important, and that is around the definitions and the tensions that may arise around definitions, and that is absolute clarity and quality control over the drafting of those definitions and the words around it, because that's where the challenge will be. And for a smooth implementation, I think it is important that that is tested and challenged on the areas of clarity and operationality. So, and that's probably a thing that you not should do after the issue, but before release of the standard. So that's the point I wanted to emphasize.
Thanks, Egbert. Roxanne? No?
Well, we discussed with securities regulators around Europe, and our view was that actually it would be useful to have a TRG, mainly because it's better to discuss some of the issues before they're implemented rather than we have to correct it afterwards, or not necessarily us, but the preparers. Now I understand that there are some good reasons for the other standards, and probably, well, the lease standard is sufficiently clear, etc., but probably there are still some areas, I must say, that I didn't come up with a list. Philippe just gave one example. Then I think it's a question for the ISB to see whether it's the TRG or the interpretation committee. What is the most effective tool to address those issues during the implementation period? So we are not advocating for the TRG as such, but for a platform which provides the most efficient tool to address some issues before the effective date of implementation.
And I'd agree with that. I think, obviously, we're very keen to focus on consistent application, and I think one of the best ways to get consistent application is to make sure people start off with consistent application, because that's easier to deal with than trying to corral people once they've diverged. So if we don't have a TRG, I think the intention would be that we'll make sure we have mechanisms to get good feedback from those implementing the standard, so we're aware of where questions might be arising so that we can escalate them quickly as needed to the interpretations committee or through it. Other mechanisms to address it. So it wouldn't be that we're sort of saying, that's done, we're not dealing with that anymore, moving on to the next project. It's more what the mechanism is.
But I think it's very important for the outside world to know that a standard is stable at a certain point. Mm-hmm. The current circumstances with revenue recognition are far from ideal, where after a very long period of preparation and finally the decision about the standard, we still are working on the standard. And in this case, because it was such an important worldwide standard, there may be good reasons to have done so, but it's not ideal. And this is a relatively straightforward standard. Yes, there is some judgment, but if you use your judgment right, finding the right answer is really not so difficult. So, yeah.
And on those particular areas, as perhaps Philippe has mentioned and Roxana, you know, any particular ones, just making sure that, you know, in some of the material, you know, up front rather than having that TRG is actually to make sure whether it be in the effects analysis or whether it be in the investor statement, somehow to emphasise what those are, because having sat on the interpretations committee and new standards coming out again, you know, that actually does make it very difficult, and it's also creating the, well, are we going to recommend changes, you know, at that point, which you really, as Hans says, you really don't want, if at all possible. Obviously, that is an avenue. But, yeah, okay. Everyone?
Thank you. Even though it seems like we're not expecting a lot of difficulties implementing this leases standard, but I'm wondering if you think about doing some educational meetings with national standard setters, because in countries that currently use national accounting standards, but they are converged to IFRS or about to converge to IFRS, the companies or listed companies and regulators, when they have questions with accounting, what they do is first they go to their national accounting standard setting body and not directly to the IFRS.
So to expand the educational meetings to national standard setters, yeah. Danita.
I agree completely with Egbert in his comment about needing absolute clarity around the definition. To me, that's the one area that is subject to interpretation at this point, and I'm not sure that we have that all right yet. But then to Sue's point about being able to bring issues to the Interpretations Committee, and the discussion earlier about that is one of the areas where we are aligned with the FASB, it seems to me that there needs to be, I'm not suggesting there needs to be a TRG, I don't think there does. I think that this issue needs to be resolved before the standard is issued. And if there are areas of judgment remaining open, I'm not sure that taking it to the Interpretations Committee for that particular issue is ideal. I mean, I know that that's our mechanism, but it seems like we need to have some mechanism of talking to the FASB so that hopefully we remain in lockstep with them.
Yes.
It's part of the reason I wanted to get it done before the standard is issued.
Okay. Any further comments either on what is proposed or additional things to propose? I think Sue and Petrina, you've got some feedback to help you there. So good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank